Let's go to the first scripture. Let's go to John 16, verse 16. So I'm not going to really recap of last week. It doesn't really follow a week upon a week, so you don't have to worry about that. But I want us to get this. I want to get this revelation out this morning. So last week we touched on the earthy man and the heavenly man, the man from the dust and the man from heavens. And we can see Adam and we can see Christ, but we can see ourselves in Adam and we can see ourselves in Christ. Are you guys with me? So I have this battle inside of me between the flesh and the spirit, or between the earth and the heavenly. Because there's a heavenly man inside of you. There's a spiritual man inside of you. There's a man of the spirit. It's your spirit, which is your true identity, your true self. And let me tell you this, that man is made perfect. Are you guys with me? So let's go to John 16, verse 16. I want to see if we can get into this this morning. So the residue of the Spirit, the residue of the Spirit. Well, that's what I thought of calling it. I'm not exactly sure what to title it, but the residue of the Spirit. So listen to this. And I want you to follow the scriptures with me, because we're working on the scriptures one after the other, after the other. And then we're going to minister to you, and we do as the Holy Spirit leads. I want to ask you to have an open heart. Are you guys with me? Have an open soul, have an open spirit. Do you know somebody who closes their spirit off, closes off to what God wants to give to them? So many people can sit in a service like this with closed spirits and not receive anything. And they wonder, why does he not prophesy over me? Well, you got your spirit closed. You don't want to receive. There's a way to want to receive. Not an arrogant way, like, oh, you know, let's see if God is real. If he says this, God might do it in his sovereignty, but he's definitely not going to do it through his gift. I can tell you that. Because even Jesus was in his hometown, not accepted. And God himself could do no great miracle when there was unbelief. How does unbelief come in? Unbelief comes in through familiarity. Familiarity comes in by family. Are you guys with me? So the root word of familiarity is family. And then we see the word connected to family is friend. That's why Judas was Jesus' friend, and Judas betrayed him. So betrayal always comes from the inside, not the outside. Are you guys with me? And don't fall asleep right now. Are you guys with me? Okay, so what is the one that, who's the one that betrays, or who's the one that becomes offended or have unbelief, is the one that becomes familiar. That is saying, ah, it's just Leon again, or it's just Pastor Martin again. You've just become familiar and you looked at the earthen vessel and not at the gift of God. And when you cannot see the gift of God, you cannot receive from the gift. You cannot. You're immediately cut off to receive from that. Are you guys with me? Why am I saying this? I want you to receive, or I want you to benefit the best from a service and not come in a religious way, like, like I'm just coming to visit from an AFM church or so, and I'm going to do what I do there, I'm going to do here, and just sit and shut off. No. We're going to be irritating you and offend you. Okay? So, because revelation has to remove the scales at some or other time, or at some or other point. And revelation has to pierce your heart for religion and the man of religion to come off. Because the law continually wants to condemn you, but it's the subconscious condemnation that wants to put you under and wants to put you down, but also wants to shut you off from receiving anything in the realm of the spirits. So you're unable to pick up on heavenly things. You're unable to pick up on a revelation. You see, revelation is a tricky thing. It has to be given to you by God himself. It can come through a preacher, but it is heaven that allows you. It is heaven that chooses you to say that now revelation can come to you. It is heaven that chooses whether revelation can come to you. Not me. It is heaven that chooses, and heaven has certain unlikely choices that heaven chooses. Are you guys with me? So Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, you will never see. You cannot see, and you will not understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Why? Because of the law. because your faith is in the law, not in Christ. So your heart is shut off and you can no longer receive. And we're dealing with a doctrine of the law, and I see it as going all over the world, but that's good. We're dealing with the doctrine of grace and the doctrine of the law together with sonship. That the law, you know, when we say it's done away with, people get so upset. They still so want the law. No, but Jesus fulfilled it. He never done away. No, he fulfilled it and it made it done away with. Very simple. But people are so mad, they want to be under the law because they want to be judged by the law because they worship themselves. They don't worship Jesus Christ. They worship themselves. Because in the law, when they do one thing good or two things good, they at least feel good about themselves. So there's a self-righteousness. Some that don't really have outward sins, now it even adds more, that they have more self-righteousness because they think they're better than others. Are you guys with me? Yet the Bible says that sin comes in because of the law. So it's looking at your life and it says there's an area of the law. Now it comes in and it brings death and it brings a revival of sin in your life. Paul says, sin revived in me. A revival of sin. People are preaching about a revival of the church, yet there's a revival of sin in believers when they allow the law to come in. Are you guys with me? So why am I I'm preaching a certain topic. It's called New Creation Realities. So that legalism can get away and that you can understand your new created being in Christ. If you are in Christ. For now, what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 verse 17? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 verse 17, put it on. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, a kainos creation. All things have passed away. Behold the flesh, and behold the flesh of the flesh, and the new has come. Are you guys with me? All things have passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become kainos. It's the same word as used in new wineskins. Meaning that old wine cannot be poured out in old wineskins. A new wine cannot be poured on old wineskins. It has to be poured out in kainos, in new wineskins. So the wine is looking, the Holy Ghost is looking for who is a new wineskin, a kainos. Let me put it to you a different level. The breath of God is looking for the image of God on this earth, to breathe upon the image. Unless you carry His image, you cannot carry the breath. Unless you carry the kainos, you cannot carry the breath of God. The breath of God breathes upon you and it makes you heavenly. Are you guys with me? So I'm going to explain to you now in the scripture how it works. So with you, the breath of God. So with you, the image of God. So you have the breath and you have the image. Adam had the image, so he received the breath. But then he lost the breath, and I'll show it in scripture. When the image was shifted, are you guys with me? And God had to take back his breath and take back his spirit to bring upon another one, but not only another one, a generation. So God first chose one that he wanted a generation, but they were messing up and he pulled his spirit back. And then he's waiting for another one that he can put it upon that can make it a generation. Called the Christ generation. And it changes everything about your mandate on this earth. Because every single person is living for themselves. Listen to me. Are you guys with me? I got my business. I got my family. And we just live inwardly. And the spirit cannot be multiplied in our lives because we are not multiplying with people. Are you guys with me? Let's go to John 16, verse 16. Let me try to explain this. John 16, verse 16. So listen to this. A little while, and you shall not see me again. And again, a little while. Say with me, a little while. Remember that. A little while, and you shall not see me again. And again, a little. So he says, and again, a little while. Say with me, a little while. And you shall see me because I go to the Father. Now, I want you to first see a few things here. I'm sitting because I'm just waiting for surgery and so on. And if I run, then I get really, I can do it, but then I get really sore for the next services and so on. So, or in the week. So I'm not even sitting. I'm just kind of like leaning against the chair. And like I said, I like it because it's very relaxing. But we will go back once I got the surgery done. It's just a hernia surgery. So even if the sound isn't good, it also affects my hernia. So I want you to see this. Stay with me a little while. So I'm going to take my time on this, and don't worry, we're going to pray for people also here. Even if it means that Pastor Martin has to do the offering there afterwards or so, but we'll have time this morning. Are you guys with me? And I hope people didn't come just for prophecy. You prostitute. That's what the Bible calls you. Okay. If you have come for prophecy, at least have a hunger and don't sit with a in here face or something like that, okay? I'm going to get into trouble if I keep saying AFM, so I think let me say in here. I love AFM. I have friends and brothers in AFM. I actually don't want to use the word friends because friend is familiarity. A little while. Say with you a little while. So a little while, whenever a word is repeated or a phrase is repeated in the scripture, there's an importance on it. Now this isn't only repeated twice. We're going to carry on reading. In this verse, it's twice. It says, a little while and you shall not see me again. A little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. He doesn't say my Father. He said the Father. So remember, what did we say last week? The Mother. Those of you that are new here, don't backslide. Okay. The Bible says New Jerusalem is your mother. Because when you are born again, you're born from above, the scripture says. So you come out of a womb somewhere above. Not the womb of the Holy Ghost. Not the womb of God. God is masculine. And I'm not saying God needed a mother in the way that we think. But yet Jesus still has a bride. Are you guys with me? So please don't understand me. God is all sufficient. All powerful, all sufficient, doesn't need anything, all sustaining, one. So he doesn't need a wife, please understand this, but we still see it run out throughout scripture. We see Jesus, the bridegroom, having the church as a bride. We see the Father, who is our Father, having, I don't want to say wife because the scripture doesn't mention a wife, but the scripture mentions our mother, which is New Jerusalem. And you can cry and throw your toys out of the cot as much as you want. That is what the Bible says. I put on Facebook with the scripture. I don't know how many, probably 50 comments. Where's the scripture? Show us the scripture is right there. Are you so blinded by devils? Religious person, godsdienst. Are you guys with me? A religion does that. Because we have heard one perspective of God. I don't, trust me, I'm not moving outside of orthodoxy. I'm very well educated in orthodoxy. Just reading the scripture, Paul says, Sarah, who's our mother, who's the New Jerusalem, who's our mother of all, every one of us. Because Abram is our of faith. So Sarah is our mother of grace. Please, I'm not endorsing Roman Catholicism as they also accuse me of. We're not endorsing that. Not once did we mention Mary anywhere. I'm just giving you an allegory that Paul said. Paul said, this is an allegory that Abraham is your father of faith. Sarah is your mother of grace. Sarah represents, he said, this is the allegory. Sarah represents Mount Zion, which is New Jerusalem. Hagar, which is the law, represents Mount Sinai. And I believe that Eden was Mount Zion as well. Because the rivers came out of a top of a mountain, flowed down. And the temple is on Mount Zion. So Ezekiel 47 says, out of the temple flows a river. And in those rivers in Eden, we see one river becoming four rivers. Are you guys with me? So Eden is not a physical place, it's a spiritual location. The garden is a physical place, but there's also a garden of God. So there's actually three types of locations when we look at this, and we'll still preach properly on it just for sensation-wise. and to make it a bit exciting, but to, because I drop here and there things and then people don't fully understand. So listen to this. So we see the Father, we see that there's a mother, but this our mother cannot be equated to anything like our Father. Please understand that. For those watching online as well, we're not saying it's only God that is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, all-powerful, everywhere at the same time, all-knowing. It is only Him. Paul was using an allegory, but when it comes to the mother, he says, no, 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 when you're born from above, out of a place called New Jerusalem. This is your new man. Are you guys with me? So a little while, and you shall go, again, a little while, and we shall see, because I go to the Father. Verse 17. I'm taking too long here. Verse 17. Because there's a lot of revelation in these messages, guys. So I hope I finish, but I will definitely minister to you. Verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. We see another repetition. So the word, key word here is a little while. The second one is I go to the Father. I want you guys to remember that. Are you guys with me? Let's carry on, verse 18. So basically between John 12 and John 18, he was sitting around the Last Supper table. So verse 18 says, they said therefore, what is that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he says. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. And he said unto them, do you inquire among yourself of what I said? A little while. So the a little while. And you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me. I want to correct a thing here with some scriptures that people read out of context. He doesn't say 2,000 years. He says a little while. So there's not only two comings. There are three comings. There's a first coming when he was born. There's a second coming when he came back in his body. Then there's a third coming when he's coming back again in his physical body. Please understand this. So we preach second coming. It's actually, according to scripture, the third coming. According to the New Testament. According to the whole Bible, it's his many comings. Are you guys with me? Trust me, he came before. And he will come again. And there's prophecies pointing to the second coming. I think almost 500 pointing to the second coming that will be fulfilled. And how many were already fulfilled about his first coming? When I say second coming, third coming. Are you guys with me? But we're speaking, have you seen? I'm speaking about a prophecy here that is speaking about his second coming in the context of what I'm speaking it now. Because remember, he went away for 3 days. Then he came back. Are you guys with me? Oh, sorry, 3 days he was resurrected. Sorry. Then he came back after that in his physical body. And many churches forget to preach that. They preach the coming after the 3 days when he was rose from the dead, but they don't preach the when he appeared to the disciples all over there, because he was away. Why? He went to prepare a certain place. So listen to this. Verse 18. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? Okay, I read this to you. He said, do you inquire among of yourself that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me. So it must have been very important for Jesus to say this over and over again. We see it all over in John 8. I'm not going to quote the verses, but in John 8, he says, where I go, you cannot come. In John 13, he goes on, he says, listen, where I go, you cannot follow me. Continually said it to the disciples, when I go, you cannot come after me. Where I go, you cannot follow me. You cannot come to me. He said to the Pharisees, you cannot come. You cannot follow me. He said to his disciples, I go to my Father's house that has many mansions, and I'm preparing a place for you. And this is very different than what we really think it is. And he says, I'm going and then I'll be coming back. But where I'm going, you cannot come with me. Are you guys with me? And he repeats it 5-6 times in scripture, which means that he's speaking about an important point here. So let's carry on verse 20. Verily I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I want you to remember joy very specifically. So he says, you will weep, and then your sorrow will be turned into joy. And the world will rejoice. What was he speaking about? He was speaking about the cross. He said, when I go to the cross, the world is going to rejoice. But the disciples is going to be sorrowful. They're going to weep. The world is going to rejoice because they hated me anyway. But the disciples is going to weep because they loved me and they feel like they're going to lose me. Are you guys with me? But remember, he said, a little while and then I'll come back to you. Not 2,000 years. The church preached this part of the Bible out of context. And therefore, we do not understand a new creation reality that we are walking in and that we are living in. And people are waiting for a glorified body. Yes, we're going to receive a glorified body, but there's another new creation about you. It is called the spiritual body, which is called kainos. Your glorious body is going to be a physical body. Let me be straight to you. Are you guys with me? But you already have a spiritual body inside of you called your kainos. Your glorious body is going to be a physical body, a new physical body that's going to be given to you. Immortal, that'll be given to you. So don't think you're going to be like some light force floating around. No, no, no. The Bible makes it very clear. You will be given a new body. Have you seen it? But you already have that spiritual one inside of you. And you are already a new creation. Are you guys with me? Let's carry on. Zarana. So we see how he's sitting at the Last Supper. We see him breaking the bread. And Jesus saying to them, this was before he went to the cross. Are you guys with me? Stay with me. He said to them, he broke the bread and he said that this is the last time I'm eating with you. And the next time we will be eating will be in the kingdom of God. Now listen to this very careful. Are you guys with me? He says, this is the last time we'll be eating with you. The next time we'll be eating, it'll be in the kingdom of God. So let's go to verse 21. As you can see, we're reading everything in context. So a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. So with his sorrow, Jesus says, you will weep. But now he's explaining what's happening because they were weeping. He was explaining to them that they're going to weep because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Say with me, amen. You look so tired. You're not catching anything this morning. Is it go over your heads? I think it is going over your heads. Don't fool me. Can a man be born? Can a child be born? Can a man be born? Okay. So what is he saying here? He's prophesying. Are you guys with me? Because there's something called the man-child the scripture speaks about. And the man-child is not really who you think he is, because the church is also the man-child. When the church comes into his fullness, it's a man-child. When the church is born, it's a man-child. But there's another man-child, which is you. And then there's another man-child, which is Jesus Christ. Because when you become born again, you become a man-child. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When you are born again, you are fully matured, a man born perfect, a kainos. So Jesus is prophesying about a woman that will be in anguish and then she'll be giving birth. But then joy will come. So with it, joy. Because a man is born into the world. Now listen to this. Have your seats. Let's carry on. So remember joy. I'm giving you just some words to remember. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice and your joy no one will take away from you. He's not speaking about heaven. He's speaking about a time here that has already happened. The church is just not catching up with it. That is why you are so depressed and not full of joy, because you don't understand who you are. Are you guys with me? If you understand who you are and you're full of joy, your countenance will be full of light. If you understand how to deal with a sin nature and walk in a righteousness nature, you will be full of light. A wrong gospel has been preached to you for many years and has tainted you, has stolen from you, robbed from you. Religion robbed from many people. Are you guys with me? Doctrine can destroy you. The wrong doctrine can affect your prosperity, can affect your business, can affect everything. So he says, and in that day you will ask, now listen to this, in the context he's saying, in that day, what day? The day that your joy is restored. The day that you stop weeping and when I return back to you. But he's not speaking about 2,000 years later. In this context, and I'm going to prove it out of scripture. Are you guys with me? Remember, the first law of interpretation is scripture must interpret scripture, not Greek and Hebrew. Greek and Hebrew is a very secondary and third interpretation. Why do I say that? Because the Bible is the whole, and the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth. So scripture, the first law of interpretation is you must use scripture to interpret scripture. Then one can go to the Greek and Hebrew if you really need to. But to first go to the Greek and Hebrew, you're really messing up because you're not getting the purity of the word out of it. So what are we doing? We're taking and saying what the word is saying. So he's saying, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Now he's saying, you will ask me nothing. Why? Because he was not going to be here. Are you guys with me? So he says, now you're not asking me anymore. You're like us, we're praying to the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Are you guys with me? So the question is, people are waiting 2,000 years before they can ask anything because they put that verse in the context of his second coming. No, it's not in the context of his second coming. It's in the context of the man-child being born. It's in the context of the joy being restored. It's in the context of a little while of him leaving. A little while is not us waiting for the second coming. There's a third coming that I'm speaking about, which is his physical bodily return to come for a glorious church. A glorious church. A victorious church. Because he said, occupy this world, take the kingdom, preach the kingdom, demonstrate the kingdom, manifest the kingdom until I come back to receive my church. Are you guys with me? So the context here, he is speaking about asking and you'll receive everything and so on. But let's jump further. Let's go further. Luke 22 verse 16. Luke 22 verse 16. We have given you too much the last few weeks. People are choking. Luke 22 verse 16. For I say to you, I will no longer, now listen to this. I say to you, I will no longer eat of it. Eat of what? The bread they were busy eating at the Lord's Supper. I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled. So they fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So he says, I'm not going to touch bread until you see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Are you guys with me? This is very important to understand that. Remember, that's Luke 22. Now, if we go to Luke 24, just two chapters further, Luke 24 verse 28. Luke 24 verse 28. Listen to this. In fact, what happened here was Jesus was walking on the road of Emmaus and he was walking next to his disciples. This was after his resurrection. Are you guys with me? This was after his resurrection. He was walking with his disciples and they didn't recognize him. They couldn't see him. Their eyes were closed. And verse 28, listen to this. And it says, and they drew nigh unto a village where they went. And Jesus made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him. They grabbed him because they picked up something in him, but they didn't know it was him. And they said, abide with us, for it is towards evening. And the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, to dwell with them. So to dwell. He's here to dwell with you, not visit you. And it came to pass, listen to this, as he sat at meat with them, to eat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He said, I will not eat until the kingdom is fulfilled. Two chapters later, he comes back, he breaks the bread and he begins to eat with them, which means the kingdom is fulfilled. Otherwise, Jesus is a liar. Are you guys with me? Are you catching those who are dead in their trespasses? Have your seats. And I'm not speaking death over you. I'm just provoking you. Because you're looking at me like Adam on Mother's Day. Get out of a religious church. I can see very quickly in someone's eyes whether they're in a religious church or not. The letter has been preached to you, not the spirit. The letter kills. What is the letter? This written. I'm not speaking of the Bible. I'm speaking of the law. Written on stone tablets. Mount Sinai. It was there to bring death, not glory. It was a glory that is fading. You once were enlightened, then it's fading away. But the spirit is a glory that is forever growing and increasing. Are you guys with me? So he broke and he bred it. He stayed the night with him. He broke the bread, he ate it, and then he disappeared. And the Bible says their eyes, if we carried on reading, their eyes opened. And they said, did our hearts not burn within us when he opened up the scriptures to us? Are you guys with me? So what was Jesus saying when he was breaking the bread then he was eating with them? He was saying that the kingdom has come. And we're going to see this. Are you guys with me? He said, I just broken bread after the resurrection. I said, I'm not going to do it again when I broke it. But now I appear to you and I did it. What happened? The kingdom has come. And he's saying to you, I want you to preach the kingdom. Go Acts 28 verse 30. Acts 28 verse 30. We see Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God. So with you, the kingdom of God. And teaching those which were concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Say with me, confidence. The kingdom must be preached with confidence. But how can you preach it with confidence? You need to understand your new high created being, the kainos creation. You need to understand who you are, what he has made you to be. When his breath breathed upon you, when his spirit breathed upon you, and the moment his spirit breathed upon you, it means you can do miraculous things. It means the signs that he did and the miracles that he did, that you will do greater works than what he has done. That is why Elisha did double the miracles than Elijah. It was a type and a shadow of Christ and the church. But Jesus Christ says, you will do greater things. You will do double. You will do more than what I did. Are you guys with me? Elisha is the most ignored prophet almost in the Bible because we think, it's all about Elijah. Yet Elisha did more miracles than any other prophet in scripture. Because Elisha is a type of the church, which means that the church has to do much more miracles than any other thing. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Everything is a type and a shadow of the New Testament. Have your seats. So Paul preaching, we see Acts 26, Acts 27, Acts 28, preaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom. Matthew 10 verse 7, read to Matthew 10, I'll put on the screen, Matthew 10 verse 7. Jesus is saying, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Are you guys with me? So the breaking of bread was the meaning of the kingdom has come. So when do we break bread? So with the communion. So whenever we have communion, it is a prophetic symbolic sign that the kingdom has come. Where is the kingdom? Inside and around us and near us and in us. Are you guys with me? Where is the Christ? Inside. Many of you didn't know that even. For how long you're sitting in encounter, it's an abomination. Jesus is in heaven. He's not in your heart. I know you invited him into your heart. He's not in your heart. Okay? Jesus is in heaven. Christ is in you. Paul says, this mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory. not Jesus in us. Jesus and Christ is not the same. Christ came upon Jesus. Was Jesus God? Absolutely, 100%. 100% man, 100% God. But Christ came upon Jesus. And when Christ came upon him, Ian, at the River Jordan, when the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. Okay, are you guys with me? Covering Jesus, he becomes the Christ. From that moment, he worked miracles. From that moment, he casted out devils. From that moment, they pointed and they said, he's the Son of God. From that moment, John was prophesying, he says, the Lamb of God who has come. But from that moment, he was the Son of God. He was always the Son of God. From that moment, he was pointed as the Son of God. From that moment, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Has he done great things before that? Absolutely. He was preaching and teaching from the age of 12, knowing the scriptures better than all the teachers of the law. But the miracles happened according to scripture when the Christ came on him. And when he left, he said, I cannot go with the Christ. I have to leave the Christ on the earth. Let me change the wording for you. I cannot take the spirits. I have to send the Comforter, the promise. Who is the Spirit? But the Spirit is Christ, because it's the Spirit of his dear Son, says the Bible, that is sent into our hearts. So the Holy Spirit is the anointing, gives the anointing, but Christ is the anointing. So when you become anointed, it's the Christ that comes on you. The Spirit of Christ that comes on you. That is why it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you guys understand what I'm saying? So as Jesus was walking on the earth, you are walking when you're born again. And you have the Christ on you. That is why he said you will do what he does and even do greater works than what he did. Because he knows when the Christ is on you, nothing is impossible. None of us could have achieved it because of our sin. That is why he was the sinless lamb, the spotless lamb. And he went and took the sins of the world upon him so that you and I don't have to worry about our sins, that when we receive him, we are born as sons of God, because he was a son of God. So when we believe unto him and we believe and the power of God comes and it changes us into sons of God. So now we are not children of Jesus, but we are brothers of Jesus. Have your seats. And if Jesus says that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because me and the Father is one and we are brothers with Jesus. Are you guys with me? You don't know your identity. Why am I making these statements? That you can know your identity. Little God's doctrine. Whatever. That's what they say when we no, this is new creation realities. This is the truth. When Jesus says, do you not know that you are God's? We never say that you are God. No one is omnipotent, omniscience, omnipresence. No one has the character of God, the nature of God. In that sense, we have the nature of God, but we don't have the character of God in that sense. But we have his incorruptible seed living inside of us. His DNA. He's your partakers of the divine nature. Are you guys with me? You will not battle with finances when you understand this. You will not battle ministering to people when you understand this. So let's carry on. Luke 24 verse 36. Luke 24 verse 36. So now we're just jumping remember we were by Luke 24 verse 30, where we saw that he broke bread. But look at what's happening in Luke 24 verse 36. Luke 24 verse 36. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. There he appeared again with them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has no flesh and bones. As you see, I have. So he came in his physical body. Are you guys with me? So it's his second coming. But there's a third coming. Just because we say there's a second coming, we're not abolishing the next. No, there's a coming. It's just that the church misinterpreted the second and third coming. He already came there to them. But there's a set which we call the second coming, by mistake, that Paul is speaking about, when he shall return, and he's looking for the church. Are you guys with me? So don't confuse that. I know we preach it saying the second coming because that's all that everybody knows. But if you want to get doctrinally and theologically correct, it's actually the third coming. Because here he came in his body. And when he has spoken, he showed them his hand and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy. Say with me, not for joy. You know, in the Amplified, I want to read this to you. In the Amplified, it says this, or maybe they can put it in the Amplified. Did not believe for joy. And the Amplified says, and while, since they still could not believe for sheer joy. So if it's sheer joy. Another translation says, unspeakable joy. Are you guys with me? And then he goes on, he says, do you have anything here to eat? I'm hungry. And they brought him food there and he ate. But now listen to this. Jesus appeared to them in the middle. They shocked. They terrified. Then he tells them, he shows them the physical parts of him. And if you carry on reading there, it says how they began to have joy and they began to talk amongst one another, how great this is what they've just experienced. So joy came to them. Are you guys with me? Now, I want you to remember what we spoke about joy. Let me see if I can. He says, remember, he said, a little while I go to be with the Father, and a little while I'll come back. You will have sorrow, and then you will have joy. But it'll only be a little while. So now we see this prophecy already fulfilled. They had sorrow at the cross. And then when he was resurrected, he appeared in the midst of them. And they were full of joy. In fact, the Bible says they were unspeakable joy. They had sheerful joy. Are you guys with me? And then he asked them, again, do you have something to eat? Which means he was proclaiming and saying, I'm fulfilling prophecy. I'm self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm saying that the kingdom of God is here. That the kingdom of God is at hand, is here. Preach the kingdom, demonstrate the kingdom, manifest the kingdom. So the room was sorrowful and then they became full of joy. John 16 verse 24. John 16 verse 24, listen to this. It says, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. Say with me, ask and you shall receive. Remember, he said to them that in that day you will ask and then you will receive. Do you guys remember that? So that your joy may be full. So he says you're supposed to be living in a place where your joy is full. Go 1 Peter 1 verse 8. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. 1 Peter 1 verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to say it again. Say with me, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You cannot be full of glory unless you are full of joy. And the church is depressed because they don't have the joy of God in them. So they don't carry glory because they don't even experience His kingdom. Because they're sitting depressed somewhere in a religious church that is preaching nothing to them but the old covenant or the letter and the law, and is killing them on the inside. And the church cannot work miracles, cannot operate in healings, because their joy is not fulfilled, because they are not full of glory, because the wrong gospel is preached to them. Come on, are you guys with me? Are you understanding a little bit? So have your seats. So we heard twice in the Bible speaking about joy unspeakable and so on. I'll give you my joy so that your joy may be full. This is all Jesus was talking about, the crucifixion. He says, once I come back, which was after 3 days there, and then appeared again for many days. And we can go into that. And then he left and he said, the comforter is going to come. Are you guys with me? And when he appeared, they told it was not a spirit body, although he could walk through walls. So it was a physical body that could walk through walls. And there's a place that you can tap into that is a kainos, because you're seated in heavenly places while you are here on this earth. So there's a duality to the Christian, to the believer. While you are here, there's a heavenly place about you. Are you guys with me? So Jesus was speaking about the cross. He said, in that day, your day shall be full. In what day? The day that Jesus comes again, which was there. But is there another coming again? Yes. But we're waiting for 2,000 years for our joy to be full. No, he's saying your joy should be full from the cross. He prophesied it, he fulfilled it, and he showed the prophecy being fulfilled. Now we are not waiting for our joy to be fulfilled. What happens if you wait for your joy to be fulfilled? You're going to be depressed until your joy is fulfilled. So you're not going to preach the gospel. So it paralyzes the church. Are you guys with me? But if you understand, by the way, Jesus has already come, but we're not preaching that the second coming has already come, even though we call it the second coming. No, no, no. His coming is still at hand, because he's coming for a glorious church until we preach the kingdom of God fully saturated. And the church is glorious, because the Bible says he's coming for a full man of the church, spotless, without blemish. Are you guys with me? Without spot or wrinkle. Which is very simple, because of the blood that cleanses. We kind of like think the church has to be perfect. No, it's just because the church being glorious. That the kingdom of God is being preached. They say this whole thing, you know, the gospel has been preached everywhere. It hasn't. There are people that doesn't know the gospel. Are you guys with me? So then we see 40 days after they said, you know, go and I'm gonna jump a little bit just for the sake of time. So we got to remember, I just want to jump back to where we were with, it says that the woman give in birth pangs is giving birth, and then she gave birth to a man full of joy, to a man. Are you guys with me? Or she was full of joy because she gave birth to a man of joy. And when this man will be born and will be given birth, joy will come. So the first birth of that man was on the cross. When he came back to them, the moment he appeared back to them was the man being born, the first man child. The second man child that is being born is the church. The third man child that is being born. Well, let me say it like this. The first man child was Christ. The second man child is you. The third man child is the church coming into the fullness of the man. Are you guys with me? So Jesus was one man. Then he begot you and he became many men. And then you and him and the church is formed. And the church becomes a full man. And when the church is a full man, Christ comes back for his church. A physical bodily return. Are you guys with me? So can a man be born? We said no, because it's not right. But let me show you something. So we see that according to the scripture that we read, that a man will be born. We see a mature man, a mature son. Children are born, but sons are mature. So this one was born perfect, which means that when you're born again, your spirit is perfect. When you're born again, there's nothing missing, nothing lacking. Are you guys with me? So can a perfected person be born? Can a mature person be born? Can somebody be born maturely? Because Jesus said, when a man is born, not when a child is born. Are people with me? Is it, we're giving you overload of teaching, I understand. We'll take it maybe easier from next week, I'm not sure, okay? It's just what God has told me to do for a season. This whole year we gave you a lot, and I don't know if people are, so a man being born. So with a man being born. So where do we see another man being born outside of those three that I just mentioned now? We see in Genesis that God spoke 10 times about light was created. Then he spoke and the waters were divided. And he spoke and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. But when it comes to man, he never speaks. Gets to the earth and he puts his hands in the ground and his fingers in the ground, a type and a shadow. What did Jesus do? When he bent down on the ground and he wrote and he put his finger into the ground And he wrote on the ground. What did he write? Grace. The signature of heaven. Some say he wrote the name of the accusers. Some say he wrote grace. Whatever we wrote, it was the symbolic of grace, because he said to the woman, even though she didn't repent, he said to her, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. That is called grace. Are you guys with me? So we see a movement beginning to happen in the New Testament there, but where was the other time? God put his hands in the dust and into the dirt, and he began to form man. He never spoke man into existence. He handcrafted, handmade. The Bible says that we were handmade, handcrafted by the fingers of God. You were created perfect. And when Adam was created, he was mature. He wasn't a child or a baby that was born. He was created mature. Are you guys with me? So this is the first man-child in Scripture. But it's a type and a shadow of another thing that is coming also. Are you guys with me? So God made us in his likeness, in his image, and so on. And then we see something very peculiar happening. I'm just going to paraphrase for the sake of time. Adam is made in his likeness and his image. His image and his likeness. Is that right? In his image and his likeness. God made man in his image. Say image and likeness. Then Adam gave birth to Cain or Seth and one of the children. It says that the image changed. I'm just paraphrasing. You can jump there, you can Google there, you can find it. It says that Seth gave birth after his likeness and his image, not God's image. So God put his spirit upon Adam. He breathed into Adam. Are you guys with me? He meant it for a generation. But by Seth, that generation already messed up. Because they didn't carry the image of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So the image and the likeness was shifted around, and it was focused towards, I believe it is Seth. I'm just paraphrasing. Is it Seth? Towards Seth, not towards God. So where God's image is, his breath cannot be. Where the blood is not, the spirit cannot be. So the spirit can only come upon the blood. The breath can only come upon the image. So before the Holy Ghost can come upon you, you need to have the image. But how do you get the image? Is by being born again, born from above. Are you guys with me? So because of all of this happening, Genesis 6 verse 3, God is saying, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. So he's saying, I'm taking my spirit away from man. And I kept a residue of it with me, because there's another one that I'm going to put my spirit upon, that will then put it upon a generation. Because I wanted a generation. The Bible says, who shall declare his generation? Remember, I preached to you the 42nd generation. How many of you were here when I preached on that? Who shall declare his generation? So God always intended to have a generation. Are you guys with me? I need to hurry up. So who shall declare his generation? So we see how God always wanted this generation. Go with me to John chapter number 12, verse 21. Out of the Amplified, John chapter number 12, verse 21. Let me speed up that I can pray for some of you. Listen to this. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they made this request. They said, sir, we desire to see Jesus. Listen to the question. They said, we want to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip together went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, the time has not come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. But now listen to this. They said, we want to see Jesus. Jesus could have said, okay, let me see them. But he didn't say this. He said, the time for the Son of Man to be glorified has not come. I know you're not getting it. You'll get it now. Are you guys with me? Let's go to verse 24. For the time for the Son of Man, certainly the Son of Man, to be glorified has not come. He doesn't say Son of God. He says Son of Man. Because he needed to include you into the cross. And he needed to incorporate you into what is going to happen, what he's going to speak about now. Are you guys with me? So listen to this. I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, if the grain of wheat dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. So he says, tell them who want to see Jesus, they have to wait for me to go to the cross so that I can produce myself into many others. And then they will see Jesus in the many others that I'm producing. Meaning, how do people see Jesus? They see him in you if you're born from above. Are you guys with me? I don't know. Let's go on. Let's go to Hebrews 2 verse 10. Hebrews 2 verse 10. For it became him, King James, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing, so with him, many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He says, listen, when I go to the cross, the very purpose I came to this earth was for one thing and one thing only, not for your sins to be forgiven, not for the devil and his works to be destroyed. That is the second purpose. The first purpose is to bring many sons unto glory, to bring an offspring that I can be the grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies and bear much fruit and make many others like me, to fulfill the mission that my Father has sent me. We wanted to create a generation in Adam and it never happened. He's now creating a perfect generation in Jesus, who is the last Adam, and his spirit will not cease upon. The Bible says that the spirit will strive with man no longer in Genesis. In the New Testament, it says that Jesus had the Spirit unmeasured, unlimited upon him, which means it carried on forever. It was not being taken away. So his purpose was to bring many sons into glory. Are you guys with me? So who shall declare this generation? Who shall declare his generation? Go to Romans 8 and 19. Romans 8, 19. For the earnest expectant of the creature and creation, the other translation would say creation, is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I spoke to you about 42nd generation. Matthew said 14, 40 to 14, and that comes to 42. Yet if you read all the generations, it only comes to 41. So there's a generation that is missing, which is the Christ generation. So when the Bible says, who shall declare his generation? It is the Christ generation that shall declare his generation. Because when he went to the cross and he came back and he went into heaven, the Christ came upon us, the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter number 2, it was the Holy Spirit that came upon you, but it was Christ that came upon you. So as God made man in the earth, and he formed him and he made him a full man, a mature man. Are you guys with me? In the book of Genesis, we see in John chapter number 3, Nicodemus is asking how, and Jesus is saying, listen, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus asks him and says, okay, but how shall a man be born again? I'm a grown man. I'm a full man. Shall I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus is saying, don't be silly. That cannot happen. Which debunks the fact that you can lose your salvation. Are you guys with me? Because you can only be born again once. Shall a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? No. But you will now be born from above. So how we were made a man-child in the book of Genesis, it was a type and a shadow of John chapter number 3, where Jesus said, unless a man is born again, or the script, in the Greek it says, born from above, born from the New Jerusalem, coming out of the womb of above. Unless a man is born from above and made from the dust that is above, made from a spiritual materiality that is above, where God's fingers will go into the spirit and create a spirit man for you. Unless a man is born from above, a full man child being born. Are you guys with me? It is them that will declare this generation. It is them who are the 42nd generation, which I call the Christ generation. So the Christ generation. So can a man be born again? So who shall be anointed? Say me. Who shall be anointed with the Christ? Say me. Who is the Holy Spirit? Say Christ. I'm doing this. I have to shift the mind. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you have God the Father, God the Christ, God the Holy Spirit. Are you guys with me? It says you have God the Father, God the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. That's very simple. Who's the Christ? So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who is Christ? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit. They who worship Him will worship Him in spirit and in truth, because our Father is Spirit. Colossians says, unless we serve a God who is in Christ. So Christ is a phenomena. Christ is very peculiar, very mind-boggling to theologians, because it is simply the anointing. It is the anointed and His anointing. But it is not Jesus. It's the Spirit. But it even goes beyond that, because now it comes upon His people. Yes, it's His Spirit that is upon us. But it is, He says, Christ, and then they began to call them at Antioch Christians, because they were little Christs. They called them Christians. Are you guys with me? Many Christs, that's what Christians means. Citizens, many Christs, offsprings, like Him. Clones, copies, that's what they basically called them. That's what the word Christians means. And it was a swear word in the day. But they said, you know, the Christ and all these little Christs. And now the church want to say, you know, we are not little Christ. No, 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 no. If you say you're not a little Christ, you don't have the Holy Ghost upon you. You don't have the Spirit of His dear Son sent into your heart. And because you have the Spirit of His dear Son sent into your heart, the Christ rests upon you. We're not saying you are the Christ. No, no, no. I preached on it right at the beginning of part one of the series, that collectively as the church, as the body, we are Christ, because it's the body of Christ. He is both the head in heaven and the body on the earth. So Christ is not you as an individual. You are not Christ. I am not Christ. But collectively in a plural form, we are Christ. So when you belong to the body and when you belong to the local church and you're knitted together with the body of Christ and you serve in a local church, you find your purpose. What is happening? You're becoming part of Christ. Wherever you go, Christ goes. The deception comes in where people say, I am Christ and you are Christ. Now that's a deception. We understand that. But the Spirit of Christ is still on me. And it will never be taken from me, because He will never leave us nor forsake us. Are you guys with me? He will never depart from you. He has sealed you unto eternal redemption. He has sealed you until the day of redemption. It's an eternal sealing, an eternal salvation. You have inherited eternal life, not temporal life. Come on, people are battling with these things. There's no sin that will ever keep you out of heaven. Are you guys with me? Can you go sin? Don't be stupid, Paul is saying. Romans 6 verse 1. Shall we go sin so that grace may abound? Certainly not. Because if you have really received grace, you will not. Because he who is born of God cannot sin. And he who is born of God does not sin. But he who says he's without sin is a liar. So he's keeping the balance there. But he's also speaking of Gnosticism there. Okay. Because sin has been dealt with and the body of sin on your life has been cut off, the Bible says. It's been circumcised. But people are so sin-focused and sin-conscious that they cannot fulfill what God has called them to be. They worry about every little thing and they're still worrying whether they're going to go to hell if they get to. No. The Bible says there's no judgment for those who pass from death to life. You will have a judgment day, but God will look at you and you'll see the blood of His Son. And then He moves you to a place where He's now at the Bema seat where He's giving you rewards. So it'll be a reward, prize-giving day, if you are in Christ. So that's why Paul says, let us examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. Let's examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. Let's examine whether we're actually saved. Because it's not a matter of falling away and just leaving God. No, no, you cannot. The Bible says you are in His hand and in Jesus' hand. God is all-powerful, omnipotent. How can you open His hand? And I understand people, there's an argument on that, but I stand on how I study the Scriptures and how I believe your daughter can never be undaughtered. Your son can never be unsonned. It doesn't matter if you say you're no longer my son, they're still your son. You cannot. They cannot. They are born from you. If their blood test or DNA is done, guess what? It traces back to you. So how can a part of you now be in hell anyway? But who does go to hell? Unbelievers, of course. It's very simple. Those who rejected the grace of God, the prevenient grace of God as we have taught you. And I hope I taught it correctly in the church here. That you can have a good foundation, understanding your identity in Christ, understanding who you are, so that you can be blessed in your soul, so you can have the sin conscious dealt with completely, that you can be fully righteous. Imagine waking up and know you are righteous, not because of what you have done. Even if you mess up, that you are righteous, there's not one thought that comes in to put you down. Not saying that you're going to go and abuse the grace of God, absolutely not, but it's a righteous mindset. And it will increase your identity that you can become effective for the kingdom of God. Religion has messed you up so bad. Very, very bad. They have told you what you cannot do. They have told you how bad you are. How sinful you are. Why? It's a money-making thing so that we can get you back, so that you can keep feeling guilty and you can come back. So the Roman Catholic Church have to charge money for the confession of sins, so that people can keep coming back. And I spoke to you about the thing of confession of sin last week. We can read stuff in the Bible that's not really for us because it contradicts certain doctrines. He's saying, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you. But hold on, I thought I'm forgiven. And then cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But I thought I'm the righteousness of God. So it's a contradiction in Scripture. So we need to find out, what is that confession? It was towards the Gnostics that were not really saved, but they were among the church in John's church. And John had to incorporate them and say, listen, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What happens when you get saved? There's a confession, there's an agreement that you are nothing. And then God's forgiveness comes and His salvation comes.